What's going on, Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. And yes, the Blue Jays did lose tonight against the New York Yankees. They lost a critical series against the New York Yankees in the chase for the postseason. We're going to break that all down for you tonight. But first, of course, I just want to say a huge thank you to the listeners for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Of course, you can follow me at Wii Sports on Twitter. You can follow my work at Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, as well as play-by-play for Saga 960 AM Radio. Of course, Locked On Blue Jays is available wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, you name it. That's where Locked On Blue Jays is available. Of course, this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. And tonight again, I am pleased to be joined for this episode by MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast once again. How you doing?
Well, thank you. Thank you again for having me here. And well, I'm not doing as well as I was last night after the game.
Yeah, no. Certainly not the best of vibes. That's for sure. I feel like Blue Jays fans tonight certainly felt like a dagger tonight's game. We're going to break down the entire game and the critical moments, as well as looking ahead to the weekend and all those implications. But first, Jen, before we get into sort of the nitty-gritty details of tonight's loss, just big picture your thoughts, because it felt like to me with the Yankees winning 6-2, over the Blue Jays, it felt like a bit of a dagger to the Blue Jays season and their postseason hopes.
I would agree with that. I think most fans are feeling that way right now, to be completely honest. It seems like every game is a must win here. And, you know, especially, you know, you consider the fact that, you know, the Blue Jays sort of, they swept the Yankees a few weeks ago and had their destiny sort of right there in their own hands, and they just couldn't come through in two of these games. And, you know, when you're leaving runners in scoring position time after time, it's awfully difficult to win a ball game. And that's just the bottom line. So sure, they're not out of it yet. I mean, mathematically, but to have to rely on, you know, a combination of the Mariners and the Red Sox losing and sweeping the Orioles, all of which is feasible, but to have to, you know, have it boil down to that, it certainly does feel like tonight might have been the death blow.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I sort of said coming into the Yankees series in this final stretch that they probably needed to win all six to guarantee, like fully guarantee that they're going to make the postseason. 5-1 would have been really nice. I think it probably would have got you in depending on what might have happened. You probably needed a bit of help, but now you need a ton of help. And I felt, Jen, like the first loss of the series when Hyunjin Ryu was on the mound, it felt like, okay, the Yankees, they hit some really good pitches. It felt more of like a tip of the hat, right? I mean, like, this is a hot ball club right now. They're hitting well. They're doing a lot of great things. But tonight, the third game of the series, it felt just heartbreaking. And it felt like the Blue Jays, they had a lead in this game, and it felt like that it was going to be one of those nights where Robbie Ray was going to have one of those big performances, and it just ended up that sixth inning really was the ball game, it felt like. And now the Blue Jays are in a spot where, like you said, they got to win, but they need not one but two teams to at least lose in order to get yourself into a game 163 position. So a huge hill to climb, and it felt like tonight was just very heartbreaking. It felt like, just given how close this team was to perhaps going on their way to win.
Well, and that's just it. You know, in that first game, Ryu wasn't great, but he put the Jays in a position to win that game. And, you know, they got beat on a couple of good pitches. I mean, really, that had no business being hit. And, you know, you can kind of live with that as a fan. I think you can be disappointed, but you can kind of live with that outcome, you know, when a ball is basically gulfed, you know, over the wall, like what can you do about that other than say, okay, you know, that's incredible. You know, whereas as tonight, you know, Ray was throwing up some cookies that got smashed. You know, he wasn't getting beat on a good pitch. He was sort of, you know, teeing up a couple of those pitches for them. And so, you know, that I think is the difference between the two losses, really, right, from a fan perspective.
Yeah, so let's get into Robbie Ray, because I think that was, to me, the dominant theme of this game. I think it's what people are going to be talking about, you know, about this game is Robbie Ray. And look, Jen, Robbie Ray before that sixth inning was dealing. I mean, he was, I think he had retired 9 straight batters coming into that inning. Now, he did give up an early home run to Aaron Judge to start the game. And I tweeted out, don't let Aaron Judge or John Carlos Stanton kill you about like 3 or 4 times. I mean, because that's what it's been. I mean, like those two guys, you know, when you look back at this series, really killed you and really hurt your chances in big moments there. But it just felt like to me that fastball was just hanging over the plate constantly. And the Yankees hitters were just eating it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner combined and hitting it out of the ballpark. So, I look, just your thoughts on Ray tonight, because again, he looked like a Cy Young candidate there those first 5 innings. And then all of a sudden, it really fell apart and it felt like he was left in there a bit too long.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think at the end of the 5th inning, he had retired, I think it was actually 12 in a row. And so, you know, as you said, he was dealing, and I was already, you know, trying to craft my tweet for when he actually, you know, ended up being pulled from the game, you know, something witty about, you know, congrats on the Cy Young, essentially. Sure. Because it really did look like, you know, he'd locked that one up with his performance. And, you know, when he went out in the 6th inning, I think it was, you know, right towards the beginning of the inning, it was either Dan Shulman or Pat Tabler who commented that there was nobody warming up in the bullpen. And I sort of made a mental note and thought, oh, that sort of seems unusual here. You know, 3rd time through the order, 6th inning, approaching 100 pitches, there's nobody warming up. Okay, you know, Robbie Ray's looked good. I don't know. And then the 6th inning happened. Yeah. So, you know, why no one was warming up, I'm not really sure. I'm sure that was asked post game. I don't know what the answer was to that. You know, why no one went out to the mound, even just to slow the game down at that point. Right. You know, I don't think either Pete Walker or Kirk visited the mound, if I recall correctly.
No,
so
they did right? not.
Right. Even just to slow the game down, maybe give somebody some time to warm up, you know, and these are all things that we, you know, we question, obviously, in part because of the results.
Sure.
You know, had he gotten out of that inning or, you know, gotten out of that inning with a tie, you know, a tie intact or something like that, maybe we're not quite dwelling on it so much. But I, you know, it's the one time sort of, you know, leading into the inning, I did really think, like, why is no one up warming up? So,
yeah,
you know,
that was
foresight rather than hindsight.
Yeah, because, I mean, you make a really good point about the 3rd time through the order. And look, I hate to, you know, bring, you know, analytics into this, but this is what it is, right? Like, this has become a strategy in baseball that's been adopted by teams where when pitchers go through 3rd time through the order, the opposing batting average and OPS is just higher. And you look tonight, or throughout this season, rather, Chris Black of Sportsnet, who produces the Blue Jays broadcast on Sportsnet, tweeted this out. And this season, Robbie Ray First time through the order, his batting average is 188.609 OPS. Second time through the order, it's 172 batting average and 0.550 OPS. Third time through the order, 302 batting average, 0.936 OPS. Like, there it is, Jet. There it is.
Yeah. Like, yep. And that actually had been written about, I think, before the game. I think Arden Zwelling and Ben Nicholson-Smith had included that statistic. Obviously, the numbers are now different given what happened in that sixth inning. You know, but third time through the order, I think prior to the game, you know, opponents had an OPS of like 860 against Robbie Ray, you know. So between that and his propensity to give up home runs sometimes, you know, and you've got this Yankees lineup out there, you know, you could almost, you know, predict that this could happen, you know, if you have the numbers and I have the numbers and, you know, these other guys have the numbers. Obviously the Blue Jays knew that was sure. the case with Robbie Ray.
Yeah. It's sort of like almost a reverse of the World Series last year in a way, game six, where, you know, Kevin Cash gets just completely criticized on Twitter for pulling Blake Snell. Well, it didn't work, but this has been the Rays strategy. That was the Rays strategy all year last year. It's the same way this year. It's how baseball's going, right? So sure, you can blame, you know, maybe in that circumstance or whatever, but here's the case where the numbers don't lie. Like, Robbie Ray's numbers, third time through the order, just aren't as good. And this is a Yankees team that we know that they can go yard. We've seen it in this series. So to me, like, look, to your point, you know, maybe the one home run, okay. But then the second one, and then there's like nothing after, like there's no conversation. Like it just felt like he was left out there to draw. I mean, left out there to just try to, you know, find a way out of the inning. And I think that's what Charlie Montoyo's defense is going to be. Like, I think the other side of this is, well, he's the Cy Young candidate. I don't want to go to bed at night pulling my son Cy Young candidate, but you got to look what the game is giving you there. And you just can't blindly do that in a must-win game.
Well, and I, you know, I agree. Managers have to have faith in their guys. Sure. And, you know, Robbie Ray's been the ace. And let's be honest, without Robbie Ray, all season long, the Jays aren't even in this position anyways, and we're not having this conversation, you know. So I absolutely understand, you know, giving him the opportunity to go out there in the six and, you know, see if he can pitch his way out of that inning. But I do think that somebody should have been ready if things looked like they were going to fall apart. Right. So, you know, he gives up the home run to Rizzo and it's 2-2. Okay. Tie game. Sure. You give him the next batter, Aaron Judge, another home run. Now it's 3-2. That's maybe when you at least want to go out and have a conversation with him, I think, you know. And I've haven't been critical at all of Charlie Montoyo or the decisions that have been made all season. I think there are things that, you know, are questionable and maybe different decisions could have been made in different, you know, situations. By and large, I don't think, you know, the vitriol that you see towards him from some fans is warranted at all.
Agreed. At all. Yeah.
But I do think tonight probably that might have been a misstep.
Yeah. And also, like, I was just shocked at the vitriol towards Ray. Now, granted, it was probably from more Yankee fans or fans south of the border, you know, trying to, you know, rev people up on social media, like saying like, oh, this is your Cy Young candidate. Like, wow. But like, to your point, you look at the stats, you look at what Robbie Ray's done this year. We even said it last night, like, you know, the Jays aren't even, you know, thinking about postseason without Robbie Ray, what he did this year. And I think there is merit to try to go out there and figure it out, because the bullpen, let's face it, you know, maybe they didn't feel comfortable going to the bullpen right away, with maybe there weren't as many arms out there. Who knows about the health of the bullpen and all that stuff. But Oh, I don't know. I mean, it does feel like we're talking back 2020 hindsight, but I just think that in that situation, I, you know, as someone sitting at home watching, it just felt like it was getting out of hand, especially when they're up 3-2. Because let's face it, maybe you get out of that inning 3-2. Okay, you're only down a run. It's a completely different game compared to being down 3 runs, which ended up happening. And it felt like the game was effectively over. So figure out a way, sure, to just mitigate the damage so that you don't get the game completely out of hand, which is what happened.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know. And I know, you know, it was interesting because there was some poor, you know, balls and strikes calls in that Rizzo at bat that may have sort of changed the complexion of that particular at bat. And, you know, for once, you know, Montoya was actually chirping the ump from the from the dugout. He was pretty much doing it the entire game.
Yeah,
it seemed to be right. So, you know, I don't know. Again, I'm not at all blaming that sixth inning on that what, you know, those calls or anything like that. But I don't know if that maybe factored into the decision at all, right? That, you know, oh, he kind of got jobbed on this call, and you know, Rizzo hits the home run, but you know, let's leave him in there. I have absolutely no idea. But and some of this is hindsight, but I don't think the notion of at least having somebody warming in the bullpen leading into the six, I don't think that that's a crazy idea at all. I don't think that that's hindsight. I think that just simply would have been prudent.
Yeah, prudent managing at that spot, given the numbers of Robbie Ray, third time through the order. We're going to keep talking about the sixth inning because that top half, with the Vladimir Guerrero stuff that happened, you know, that was just absolutely wild. How, you know, close he was to getting a potential 2-run homer, and then look what happened afterwards. And it's just, you know, baseball. But we're going to be back in just a moment, and I want to talk to you now about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. I mean, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, orange. Those are some of the big popular favorites. Now, not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to built.com and use the promo code locked on and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code locked on for 15% off at built.com. All right, Lucas Weiss here, Locked On Jays podcast, alongside MLB analyst Jen Smith. Of course, to all our listeners, thank you so much for making Locked On Jays your first listen of the day. And Jen, I don't know about you, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I mean, that was like a microcosm of the game of the season. Inches away in the outfield for getting a critical 2-run home run. Could have made 3-1 Blue Jays. And it went like, it bounced and it didn't go forward. It went backward. And I like stood out on my couch being like, how is that in play? Like, that was crazy, wasn't it?
You know, I don't think I've ever seen that, you know, like literally just right off the top of the wall, dead center. I can't believe the bounce that took, you know. And you see, you know, Brett Gardner out there like having to wait for it to decide which way it's going to go in order to play that ball, you know. And and it felt like, you know, obviously Vlad's been scuffling tremendously. And he comes up in this big moment and you think, okay, here we go. You know, we could have a vintage Vlad moment right here, you know, and, you know, he could maybe just with one sort of swing of the bat, you know, give the Jays a lead and maybe, you know, break this open a bit. And yeah, I can't believe the dumb luck on that, not going out of the park, you know. He did get an RBI out of it, you know, just missed that home run, you know. And at the same time that was going on, I think the Orioles put up a, you know, three runs against the Red Sox. So you kind of had both of these things going on at the same time, if you were scoreboard watching. And it just seemed like these two sort of very pivotal moments in these two games. And, you know, at least with the Orioles and Red Sox, that that game went in the Jays' favor as far as outcomes could go. But yeah, if only, right? If only that ball had gone out.
Yeah, and like, who knows? I mean, like, it's so hard to say, like, who knows what would have happened, but it's just such a baseball type of fluky moment, right? Because then look what happens afterwards with the Yankees, and it just felt like, gee, I mean, if only Vlad could have gotten, you know, a few inches there and got the lucky bounce. But you made the point about him struggling, and he has struggled, and I think for Vlad, I mean, this is someone that obviously, again, you know, coming into September and into the series, I mean, a lot of expectations, right? I mean, this is someone that was chasing for the AL MVP, frankly. What have you seen in Vlad, I guess, these last few games where he struggled a bit? And maybe if you wouldn't mind just explaining, like, what you're seeing from a baseball perspective in terms of what he's been, you know, why he might be struggling.
He honestly just looks lost at the plate. I mean, he's swinging at pitches that he has no business swinging at that are well off the plate. And it just seems like, you know, he doesn't have his, I mean, I don't know exactly what causes slumps in players, right? And this isn't the first slump that he's gone through this season. And, you know, is it fatigue? Is he pressing too hard? I know there was a moment that was people had mentioned, I think, from yesterday's game. And it was, I think, Springer who had to sort of tell Vladdy, you know, to kind of calm down at the plate, right? Don't swing so hard. Just, you know, ease off a little bit. So, you know, it's possible that he's literally just out there trying too hard. And that's just, you know, as we all know, is something that can really, you know, mess up a player's timing. So I don't know what it is with him exactly. You know, could it be fatigue? They didn't play this type of season, 162 games last year. You know, Vlad put in a tremendous amount of work in the off season. You know, to lose weight and gain muscle requires, at the same time, requires a tremendous amount of work. And as you said, you know, he was chasing that MVP all the way through the season. And I don't know where his headspace is at this point, right? I really can't put my finger on what it is that's happening with him right now. But when you watch his at-bats and you watch the balls that he's swinging at, he just looks lost.
Yeah. And look, I mean, it's sort of a bit of a microcosm right now of the Blue Jays offense. I mean, look, tonight's a night where, I mean, they got more hits than the Yankees did, 10 of them, but they're only putting up two runs and they're 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. And let's face it, like, they're not going to change their strategy. Like, I think this is a team that you know, they want to swing for the home runs, and that's, you know, fair, right? I mean, because, and look, the offensive numbers this year have shown, like, from a season long look, that they're one of the best offenses in baseball. But it just feels like, to me, it sort of felt like this in 2015, 2016, when they made the postseason, where their downfall is just when they get into these games and then their big guys go cold and they can't cash in on the runners in scoring position. And I've said this on the podcast, like, back in the 2015 ALCS against Kansas City, they went like 3-for-48 with runners in scoring position. And tonight again, 1-for-9. It's just frustrating because they're putting themselves in position and they're just not cashing in when you have to, in these critical moments of the season when you're chasing for a playoff spot.
Well, when you have such a potent offense that sort of feeds off of each other and, you know, one or two bats go cold for whatever reason, you know, it becomes really easy then to pitch around those guys and you know, pitch around the rest of the lineup versus, you know, when, you know, a guy like Vlad, and Teoscar Hernandez is another one. He's, I think, what, he had all of one walk in this entire series, yeah, and that's it. You know, and these were two guys who, you know, 3 weeks ago, were just, you know, pounding the baseball, just absolutely scorching it. So, you know, again, it's like, and it was just like a snap of the fingers that they went ice cold. And I have no idea why. I don't know that anybody can really answer it. I don't even know if they'd be able to answer that question, right? Because obviously if they could, they'd snap out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, right?
Yeah.
Hitting's difficult.
Really hard, I guess, yeah.
Right? And slumps are going to happen over the course of a season. And, you know, unfortunately, one is happening right now for two of their most important offensive players.
Bo Bichette, though, and I know we talked a lot about Bo in the last podcast, but he continued tonight, Jen, and I thought that double late in the game, and I think he yelled to, like, the, you know, the dugout, like, let's go. Like, I know we talked a lot about on the last podcast about him, you know, really embracing this moment, but he's feeling it. Like, he really wants this. He wants the spotlight. He wants to play well in the big moments, and he certainly did that again tonight, trying to sort of, I felt like will his team that was struggling to hit, you know, to try to get some runs.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it was in the second inning, he led off with a single, stole second base. I mean, he was fired up and he was out there just ready to do whatever it took, you know, and then led off the eighth inning with the double. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, who comes up next? Teoscar Hernandez strikes out swinging on pitches that really, like I said a few weeks ago, he would have been absolutely crushing.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's the thing, right? But yes, Bo is absolutely, he looks like a man on a mission out there. And, you know, he seems to be wanting to just, you know, drag this team to the postseason, you know, up on his back, and good for him in the sense that, you know, he's sort of been in the shadows a little bit. You know, Vladdy has had this incredible MVP-esque season for most of the season. And, you know, they come up together and they're, you know, great friends. And, you know, Vladdy is obviously a great player. And, you know, you can see if he gets a little bit more control at the plate, good, so maybe a little bit more selective, you can see him being a potential MVP, you know, candidate in the not so distant future, right? You can,
right,
you can see that's his trajectory.
Well, no doubt. And look, I've really been impressed, and I think he's just going to keep growing from this. I think all the guys are. And look, I mean, we don't need it. You know, the season's not over yet, but when the postmortem eventually happens, I think, you know, they're all going to grow from this. And I think it's a point that you made just a little bit ago, but, you know, they haven't experienced September baseball yet. And now this is their first time, but look, these are the type of moments, right? Like, I mean, I said on the pod yesterday that reveal the character of a team, reveal the character of players. And it's just not happening right now in the critical time. And then you look at the Yankees, Jen. The Yankees have been a roller coaster this year. I mean, the Yankees have been just a wild ride of streaks, hot and cold. And now they're just in the middle of a real heater, it seems, with the guys that are just cashing in on critical hits.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what, you know, Stanton was being booed by Yankees fans earlier this season, you know, and now here they are, and the man can do no wrong, yeah. You know.
Yankees fans, you know, are a different creature. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes, they most certainly are. But, you know, passionate fan base will
sure
say that.
Sure.
Right. But yeah, no, I mean, it has been. It's been an absolute roller coaster for all of these teams. The Red Sox weren't supposed to be any good. And I don't know where the Mariners came from, to be quite honest, and how they all of a sudden ended up back in the mix. And, you know, I guess what we're sort of just seeing is first of all, obviously a really strong division. We all know that.
Yeah.
Right. The fact that we're going to have, you know, multiple teams with 90 plus wins not make the postseason is incredible, right, within this division.
Yeah, it truly is remarkable. We're going to talk a little bit, though. We're going to look ahead to the final weekend of the season. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Don't forget to use your code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Now, I also want to talk to you about Get Upside. Hey, Blue Jays fans, this is Lucas Weiss here with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. That's Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a 25 cent per gallon bonus on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code BASEBALL. That's promo code BASEBALL. All right, Lucas Weiss here for Locked On Jays alongside MLB analyst Jen Smith. Of course, thank you to all our listeners for making Locked On Jays your first listen of the day. And Jen, look, the Blue Jays, they need to win the series against the Yankees. But like we said off the top, there's still hope. Crazy things have happened in the final weekend of the season. And what needs to happen is very simple. The Blue Jays need to sweep. And either the Red Sox or the Mariners need to each lose at least once to tie. Maybe the Rays can somehow sweep the Yankees to make things just even more complicated. But that's its simplest form. It doesn't look great for the Jays, even though it really doesn't. But you never know, right? It is sports. It's baseball. It's why they lace up the shoes. And maybe the Nationals and the Angels can play spoiler.
Yeah, I've always wondered, you know, teams that are completely out of it and are just, you know, playing out the string, and at the end of the season, if they're playing against a team that is, you know, fighting for a spot, I've wondered, you know, is the desire to play spoiler, like, is that a real thing? You know, are teams actually thinking of that? You know, we want to try to have an impact on the race, even though we are not actually in it. Is that a thing, or do they really just want to go home at that point?
Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea what the mindset is. And I guess, you know, it might depend on, you know, certain individuals, at least if they're playing for a contract or, you know, a free agency or something of that nature. You know, theoretically, the Blue Jays ought to be able to sweep the Orioles in three games at home. They're, you know, what, 11-5? Against the Orioles, I believe, so far this season. But being 11-5, I mean, they have dropped five games to the Orioles, and we just saw the Orioles take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. So it does seem either, you know, maybe they are in spoiler mode. I don't know. So I think it's going to be, you know, a tough task for the Blue Jays to sweep the Orioles.
Yeah, and look, so the projected starters, you have Friday, Steven Matz, Saturday, Alek Manoah, Sunday, Hyunjin Ryu. Probably Sunday is going to be a must-win game, so you probably expect all hands on deck, which would mean Jose Barrios would be available on short rest on Sunday. Look, I mean, I guess from your perspective, Jen, like, What's the mindset? Like, what are the vibes you think going on in this locker room right now? Because on one hand, it could be, well, we're just going to, you know, have that, you know, Charlie Montoyo optimism that, you know, we're still alive and, you know, we got to win those three games. But it's got to feel a bit deflating too, given that you had chances to either not only win the series, maybe even sweep. And now you're in this sort of position where, I mean, it really is going to need a huge miracle to happen.
It has to be deflating. And I imagine it would be particularly so for the guys who aren't producing, right? And I think that's maybe where, you know, some of those veterans who have been there that we talked about yesterday, you know, in Springer and Semien, I think that's maybe where their voice comes in, right? In terms of trying to keep everybody sort of focused on what's ahead and not dwell on what's, you know, just taken place sort of thing. Right. And, you know, I would imagine that this team, you know, especially since they are facing the Orioles for the final series, I'm sure that they absolutely believe that they can go out there and take 3 of 3. And then the rest is up to fate at that point, right? Because you can't control what goes on in any of the other games. I'm sure that they're still seeing this as being totally, totally doable. But I can't imagine, you know, after tonight, there's got to be at least a few guys in that clubhouse who are, you know, if nothing else, at least disappointed with themselves.
Well, for sure. And again, like, it's not like you're in a position like the Mariners, like the Mariners right now. It's crazy to even say this, Jet. They control their own destiny. It's incredible to think, like, a team that has been, you know, you look at the statistics, you wouldn't think looking at paper that they'd be that great. And now they're in a position to make the playoffs and break that very long postseason drought of theirs. But again, they got to go out there and do it. And to me, the thing that I think with the Blue Jays that gives me a slight bit of optimism is that something can click, right? Something can click because this offense has shown this year that when it's red hot, it can click. And it's not like they're going up against the Tampa Bay Rays. Like, if they were going up against the Rays, even though who knows who the Rays are throwing out there, I think they're going to, you know, try to give it their all at least. You know, that would be a bigger uphill battle. I think in terms of what the Jays have to do, they're playing an inferior opponent in Baltimore. But I think it's just very difficult when you got, you know, you have to rely on not one, but two other teams to try and get yourself in that position. But this is, again, September baseball, and this is what it's all about, trying to figure out how to piece together a win. You know, what the bullpen is going to be. I mean, you know, you just got to hope that the bullpen can last 3 days, that someone can't, you know, isn't made available or whatnot. But I think at this point, it's win or go home. It feels like each of these games are like a game 7 almost, where all hands are on deck.
Well, the games that the Jays have played against the Orioles this season, a lot of them have been quite high scoring games, right? You know, so, you know, the Jays have feasted on Orioles pitching, at least to some extent in their games. And if you take a look at their 5 losses, you know, guys who were coming out of the bullpen in those losses, you know, Patrick Murphy, Jeremy Beasley, Trent Thornton, were some of the guys who were, you know, Tyler Chatwood, who were part of those losses. And so remove them from the equation. If you can get decent starts from your 3 starters, and you should be able to count on, you know, Mats, Manoa, and Ryu to at least give you a decent start against the Orioles lineup, then, you know, you don't have, you know, you have your relievers who you can now count on. You know, you've gotten rid of the the ones you can't, and, you know, who knows from there, right? But you're right, you have to go out and you have to treat every single game as though it is a game 7, right? This is your last shot sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Alek Manoah in this spot. Like, I think mm-hmm. you know, someone who's just like a real competitor, and his ability to grind the last couple of starts has just been so impressive. I mean, Steven Matz didn't have a great particular last start. It's Ryu, right? I mean, like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't what the Blue Jays paid him. So it's tough, but again, it's the Orioles. So I think I'm confident there. But to me, it goes back to the hitting again, Jen. I mean, yep. that to me is the biggest coin flip right now. If they can get hot, that's great. But the 1-for-9 runners in scoring position is just not giving me a lot of confidence.
No, not at all. And, you know, whether or not, you know, a cold streak can be snapped as quickly as it starts with 3 games left, I have absolutely no idea. They certainly have enough offense on this team that even if you're not getting production, let's say, out of Vladdy, you know, there are guys who ought to be able to put up good at-bats and you know, even just run into one and put it over the wall. I didn't like the approach necessarily of the hitters tonight against Kluber, looking like they were trying to pull everything. So it might even just be an adjustment that has to be made. And, you know, again, they're it's the Orioles. And I don't know. You've got to figure that if the offense is going to come through, then it is against the Orioles in these 3 games for 2 reasons. The Orioles are not particularly good, to say the least.
No.
And because the Jays are absolutely fighting for their playoff lives. And when you combine the two, you know, maybe that's sort of the magic elixir. I don't know.
Well, here's hoping, Jen. Here's hoping at this moment. Because I feel like all Blue Jays fans are hoping that that is the solution to try to at least leave it in the hands of fate to see if the Blue Jays can try to get in. But I don't know about you, Jen, but I want chaos the final weekend because I think that's what makes baseball so exciting. Now, of course, this episode, you know, we're recording this, you know, Friday, but we were going to be back on Monday. Whatever happens, whether it's a game 163, whether it's a post-mortem talk about the season, of course, we're going to be back to discuss all that on Locked On Jays. Now, before I let you go, though, before we wrap it up, please, though, look at Locked On Bets. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, Ron team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. Jen, before we let you go, where can people find you and your work?
Please give me a follow on Twitter @baseball_Jen, Jen with 2 N's.
Yes, that is MLB analyst Jen Smith. Thank you so much for joining, Jen. Thank you, everyone, for listening. That's this episode of Locked On Blue Jays. Again, you can find Locked On Blue Jays wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. My name is Lucas Weiss, co-host of Locked On Blue Jays. We'll be back next week. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend.